Thank you so much for joining us today on From Start to Finish podcast with Christina Faith. I am your host, Christina Faith, where we inspire people to live authentically and start and finish their dreams. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hey, how you guys doing? This is Christina Faith here with From Start to Finish at ChristinaFaith.com, where we inspire you to start and finish your dreams. Today, we have the amazing Ted Rubin on the line with us today for the podcast. Ted, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Christina. How are you doing today?
I am doing amazing. I'm the pleasure to speak with you today. The first time I kind of knew you existed in the world, you know, social media is so huge, was you were on a creative live with Susie, with the Instagram expert. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, right. What does he do? So I think I added you, and then I just started seeing your name pop up in other places. And then after a while, my curiosity began to peak, and I was like, I need to talk to this social media marketing strategist and keynote speaker and see, you know, just pick his brain a little bit and see if our audience can receive anything from you.
Well, I'm happy to chat with you here. It's freezing outside, so I'm doing my best to stay inside. Where are you based, Christina?
I'm in Philadelphia.
Oh, so you're enjoying this pleasant weather as well, I gather.
I just came from 85 degree weather, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
It is too cold.
Yeah, I'm not going outside at all. So I completely understand. You're in New York, right?
I'm in Long Island, yes.
Okay, so you're really cold too. It's like the more you go up there, the more it gets cold. So if you can you talk to us about what exactly is it that you do? Because you do a lot. So what do you do?
What do I do? That's a good question. Well, you know, I have a pretty extensive social presence. I publish a lot. I talk about social marketing, something I call return on relationship, mm-hmm. which is something I've been talking about since the beginning of 2009. I published the book in 2013, and everything I'm doing kind of comes off that whole premise about how relationships to me are the core of everything. I just published a new book that just came out this past month called How to Look People in the Eye Digitally, and it's an extension of Return on Relationship, and it's really about how to really use these platforms to extend and build relationships instead of just as an advertising platform. And really, to simplify it, it's like Dale Carnegie for the digital age. Mm-hmm. So I like to tell people, anybody who's listening, wherever I speak, that I'm going to tell them what the best social media book ever written was and how each of them have to buy it. And everybody assumes I'm going to talk about either one of my books or the book of one of the recent social marketing pundits or gurus. But it's not. It's a book that was written in 1936. And it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, it's more relevant today than it was when it was written in 1936, because back then your total reach of people was probably 100 in your community, maybe a little bit more. Today, it's tens of thousands, it's millions. And people have to start really understanding how better to connect with people rather than thinking that the click of a button means making a friend.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I recently posted a blog on Adam Smith's blog about how to connect with influencers, because I think people are closer than ever before, and we tend to kind of like look at them afar instead of developing relationships with them. So that's definitely some good meat for us to chew on as a community. So how did you get started in all this? Like, you know, was it the Dale Carnegie book that really kind of like piqued your interest? But, you know, what's your background? What caused your wheels to turn?
Well, I've always been a relationship guy. I mean, my whole life, I've always built relationships no matter what area I was in, whether it was school or it was work or it was after school activities. And then I always have been a community builder in that I built friends, but then I always wanted to bring them all together. And people are, if people follow me around or meet a lot of my friends, they'll find that many of them know each other from growing up to college to jobs. You know, I always brought all these people together. And you know, I got involved in the digital world in 1997. I joined a company called Yoyodyne that was founded by Seth Godin. Seth's pretty well known in the marketing world. He has the number one marketing blog in the world. He sold the company that I went to work for in 97, in the end of 98. Yahoo, it was one of Yahoo's early acquisitions. It was the first online direct marketing company. And I was just fortunate to be around Seth when he was, before he'd written his first bestseller, as he was devising a lot of these concepts like permission marketing, like the idea virus, purple cow, all the things that he started talking about. And I was there, and I was very fortunate. I spent a lot of time with Seth. I, to join his company, I had moved up here back up to New York from Florida. My wife and children, my ex-wife now, but my wife at the time had stayed behind, you know, for the kids to finish preschool and to sell the house. And so I was spending most of my time at the office, and I got to be around Seth a lot. And it was a really amazing experience. I learned to shut my mouth and listen because I was in the presence of greatness. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what I learned from Seth were the beginnings of my thinking about return and relationship and how important it was to make those connections. And although I've always been that kind of a person, now we have these platforms that enable us to do it 24/7. So when a lot of people hear me talk about this, very often I like to say relationships are the new currency. And many people will either shake their heads or raise their hands and say, well, haven't relationships always been the currency? I mean, you know, the expression that we've all heard for years, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But the difference now is that we can be building, scaling relationships 24/7 without ever leaving our homes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not advocating never leaving your home. but what I'm saying is you no longer need a budget to do it or the ability to travel or to pay hotels or to pay for events. You can be building these relationships all the time if you pay attention to what people are doing, if you look at who they are, if you dig into their profiles, if you go to their Facebook pages instead of waiting for them to come to yours, mm-hmm. and see what they're talking about. I mean, I hear companies complaining all the time about the changes in Facebook algorithms and how the organic reach isn't what it used to be, but what they're missing and have always missed is the ability to go to people's pages. People are inviting you into their living rooms, mm-hmm. and nobody's going. All they want is for them to come to your house. Mm-hmm. And companies are complaining all the time. They don't know enough about people, but they're putting it all out there on their pages, on their Facebook, their Twitter, their Instagrams, their Facebook pages. And brands have to start waking up and having their employees visit those pages and engage there.
All right, you know, The Point of It All is a classic. We'll be singing this for years to come.
I can't stay away from you too long. Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay. Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah. And the point of it all is I love you. Yeah. Baby, oh. My days seem long whenever we're apart. It's like someone has stolen away my heart. You're a major part of my life. And no matter what the storm may bring, I'm fine with you. And the point of it all, I love you. And the reason for it all.
You were brought up in a time where the shift was occurring. On your new book, How to Look People in the Eye Digitally, what's one thing from that book, of course, amongst the 72 pages, but what's one thing that will help people develop those relationships? How do you look someone in the eye digitally?
Well, first of all, you call them by name.
Yeah.
So you go to if the name is in their handle, it's easy enough. And most people don't even bother with that. But go to their profile page, see where they live, make a comment just like you would in person. So I don't know about you, but most people I know, at least me for sure, back in the day when you actually met people face-to-face regularly, I was taught that when you went to meet somebody, you paid attention to their surroundings. You mm-hmm. looked at the photos on their desk, on the diplomas on their wall. You found a commonality in order to create a relationship and to make a connection. So I would look to see if someone's a father or a grandfather. Do mm-hmm. they fish? Do they play golf? And now you can do all that by looking at their profiles and their pages. So call people by name. Dale Carnegie likes to say that, or liked to say, that there is no word in any language that is sweeter to anybody's ear than the sound of their own name. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves to get called by their name. So instead of just replying to somebody, say, Christina, thanks so much for sharing my content. Or, how was your day today, Christina? Instead of just saying, how was your day? Look at where they're from. Make a comment about where they're from. I mean, these days, it's not hard, even if you don't know a lot about different cities, just to look something up quickly. But if I see someone's from Utah, I usually throw in a remark that I love to ski and that I ski a lot around Salt Lake City. If I see someone's from Philadelphia, I might make a mention, oh, my daughter just got accepted to school there, so I'm sure I'll be spending more time. And this lets them know that you're paying attention. So to me, that's like the easiest way to look people in the eye digitally.
What do you think stops people from looking people in the eye digitally?
Laziness.
I agree.
Thinking that these, you know, there's a lot of pundits out there today telling people one-to-one connection is dead. Don't call people. Don't pick up the phone. Don't go stop by their door. It's not effective because you can't reach as many people. Send out a blast email. Throw things on your Facebook page. Connect with people in a way that it connects with all of them. But what they're missing is that most people don't want to connect with you one-to-one. But those that do, everybody else is watching and sees it. Mm-hmm. And I like to say a brand is what you do. A reputation is what people remember. So you will be building a reputation for yourself by connecting with people, by calling them by name. Other people will feel that, you know, even though they might not reach out to you, if they did, they have a feeling that you would make it personal. And that grows the attachment from them to you.
Definitely. This is really good stuff, guys. I hope you guys are taking notes. This is Fellowship Church with New Creation. If you have a chance, go ahead and YouTube that. It is one of the most amazing depictions of being a new creation that they did while performing it on the set.
Holy Spirit hovering over the deep, speak out the light and let it flood in me. A form. I'm searching for a life that hasn't been there before. Speak light into the darkness. Speak light into my lungs. Feel my soul deep as the ocean. I'm reaching for your love. And all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and made a new. Again, all that I can do is give it back to you. You've taken my old skin and made it new again. You have made me new, a new creation, a new creation. Holy Spirit hovering over the deep, bring out the colors that my heart's yet to see.
So what advice would you give to somebody wanting to follow their dream? You are a dream chaser. We can tell that you are passionate about everything that you do. What advice do you give people besides just, you know, getting out there? What's something that you've seen has stopped people from starting and finishing?
I think everyone's looking for, especially when they're in a company, they're worried about too involved a strategy. That people tell them, make sure you have a plan. Make sure you have a strategy. But very often, a strategy and a plan stand in your way. Because until you have it all planned out, until you think it's perfect, until you have every detail done, you wait and you wait and you wait. Instead of just jumping in, I mean, nobody says it better than Nike. Just do it. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about your plan, because your plan's going to change anyway. In this day and age, plans cannot possibly stay the same because you're getting minute-to-minute feedback. It used to be we made a plan and we executed and we maybe bought media or we made plans for the future and we never really heard from people. It took months and years to really hear back any feedback. Now you're getting it minute-to-minute, so you're evolving it. So just jump out there, get on these platforms, get on Twitter, get on Facebook, get on Instagram. I mean, my advice to people that aren't on social platforms and haven't started building their personal brands is start with Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's the easiest place to do it because it's all about images. And creating content is as easy as pointing your phone and going click, 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 photo, 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 and then sharing it. Mm-hmm. And then from Instagram, you can syndicate to a Facebook page, a Twitter page, a Foursquare page, a Flickr page. So you can be creating content there and then cutting back the time it takes, because a lot of people also are held back because mm-hmm. they go, I don't have the time. I have a job. I have a family. I might have a second job. But you know what? There's never going to be a better time. Start doing it and integrate it into what you do every day. Like, people tell me it's hard to create content. I have too much content. Mm-hmm. Everywhere I go, there's content. I'm on the train. There's a picture. There's content. I see somebody reading the newspaper. I go, wow, I didn't think people read newspapers anymore. I take a photo. I publish it. And then I put my thinking around it. Like, hey, who else is reading newspapers? Does anybody use these newspapers anymore for anything other than starting fires and packing boxes? You know, and it's not just about whether or not we want to use paper. It's a matter of whether paper is going to stay economically feasible. And it's not. Mm-hmm. Because we're tearing down our trees, we're filling up our garbage dumps, and the money it costs to print them, when most of it could be done digitally. So they're there now, but they're disappearing. But all of this is content. Get out there and start doing it, and your strategy will evolve as you go. And then the other thing is, wait to see what people react to. Be yourself, be genuine, be authentic, and then see what people like, and then give them more of it.
I was actually going to ask you, how would you help people, you know, to develop their brand? But you just said it, and that's really the purpose of our show, is that people need to remain authentic. This is definitely one of my favorite songs from Andy Mineo, Wild Things.
That's why I live where I live. They say you acting crazy, that ain't no place to raise your kid. But if we ain't living it, who else gonna show 'em what a family's supposed to look like instead of them broken homes? Gotta be living stones around where they getting stoned. Live to know him, die to make him known till he take us home. Let's go.
I wanna go where the wild things go.
Think that the strategy and the planning is what causes people not to be authentic?
No. I first of all, I'm not saying don't have a strategy or don't plan. What I'm saying is don't let that hold you back from getting started. Mm-hmm. Let it evolve as you go. Your initial plan and strategy should be, I'm getting started. That's a plan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I am going to open a Facebook, I'm going to start using my Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start taking pictures on Instagram and pushing it and syndicating it out to Twitter and Facebook. That's my plan. That's a strategy. And what am I going to do? I'm going to listen. That means I'm going to pay attention to what people like. So every day I'm posting pictures of the sunset. Everyone loves it. I'm going to do more. Every day I'm posting pictures of people screaming at each other. People aren't liking it. I'm not going to post it anymore. Mm. Unless, of course, to you, figuring out what human nature is and the fact that people are screaming at each other is so important to you that you want to keep at it regardless of whether people actually love it. Well, I'm not telling you not to do that either. And then if people start seeing that this is something that you are analyzing or that you're trying to figure out how to make better, then that's altering it and shifting it a little bit so that people understand what you're doing. I like to say, tell your story in a way that people will care. Mm-hmm. Because if people don't care, then they're not going to read your story. And then who's going to hear it? You know, where is it going to go? And then just do things that, like, for instance, part of my personal brand is I wear funky socks. I publish them every day. I didn't sit in a brainstorming session and come up with that. I like funky socks. I was wearing them all the time. I started speaking on stage. People started noticing them. They asked if they could take pictures. They published the pictures. Every day people started asking, what's Ted wearing today? Mm-hmm. That was 4 years ago, and it's still going on.
Okay.
So, and people say, well, when are you going to stop publishing your socks? I'm going to say when people stop caring or when people stop using it as a way to connect with me. I use that as an easy way for people to open a door and start building a relationship with me and start talking to me and have something to say without worrying about what they're going to say. If that stops, then, you know, I also wear vests when I speak. So every time, if I ever speak without a vest, people are like, Ted, where's your vest? Mm-hmm. Again, these are things that evolve from things that I like to do. At night, when I'm having my cocktail, I take a picture of it, not every night, but some nights, and people start publishing their pictures or telling me what they're drinking. It's like an online cocktail party. These are just ways of doing things that you do that enable people to connect and engage with you.
Now, if you know me, you know I don't really do remix, but JoJo did a great remake of Caught Up in the Rapture, originally by Anita Baker. Check it out. But I buy it,
it's the remix.
So how do you balance family, you know, writing, traveling, speaking? What's the balance of your life like? And do you have a balance?
Well, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I mean, mm-hmm. I do this stuff around the clock. But also, look, there's one thing that's different in my life. I'm a divorced dad. At this point, my girls are older, so they're not with me that much. So I don't have a lot of, you know, well, a lot of parents, once the kids go to school, I mean, my older daughter's in college, my younger one's going to college in the fall. So no matter whether you're divorced or not, you're certainly going to have a lot more time on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this for years. Mm-hmm. And the last few years, I also had to fight to keep my daughters in my life. So for a few years, that had my total attention. So mm-hmm. there was a time where I wasn't doing any of this stuff because I was just totally focused on fighting to get my girls back and to keep them in my life. And then even while I was doing this, my girls, whenever I was with them, was my focus. So every other weekend, I didn't travel because I was home with my daughters. And everybody knew that. The first thing people would ask me when they wanted me to be in an event was, do you have your daughters that weekend? Mm-hmm. And as long as I didn't, I could be there. If I did, I couldn't be there. And every company I worked at knew that was my priority, that they came first. And even now, when I'm with, I don't see my older daughter that much, but my younger one, when I'm with her, you know, the only time I'm on my phone is when she's insisting on being on hers and I can't get her attention. Then I'm bored. So mm-hmm. I pick up my phone so I don't just look like the idiot sitting at the table with his daughter staring at her phone. But when I'm with her and she's not doing that, my phone is down and away and I'm concentrating on her. So, you know, there's also late nights. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk likes to say, don't say you don't have time, sleep less. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's all about decision making. Everything is a decision. If you want time, you'll find time. You'll okay. carve it out. You'll multitask. You'll add it to something you're doing. You know, in this day and age, we all have to look out for ourselves. There's no longer a company that you go to work for your whole career. I mean, there are some, but there are very, very few if it's not in government service. And even there, they're cutting things back. So people have to start fending for themselves. They've got to start realizing that we also have the downside is that for people that would like it, it's very hard to find a career at one company that you can stay at and retire and have a nice retirement fund. But on the other hand, we have all these tools that we can create our own businesses overnight. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they'll all make huge amounts of money, but we can all be out there doing things that can create money for us. Look at the tens of thousands of mom bloggers and bloggers in general, mom bloggers, tech bloggers, fashion bloggers that have created lives for themselves, creating media for major companies and for themselves. And they do it right from their home. I mean, look at you. You told me that you're probably working from home right now.
I am.
And you've got this podcast and you're building your brand and you're connecting with people. And what are you doing? How are you doing that? You're offering value. Mm-hmm. And the value is the interviews you do and the insights that you bring forth and the connections you make with people where they also, I would gather, they know that if they need something, they can reach out to you and you're going to reach back.
Definitely. Definitely. Because, you know, when it comes to relationships, the return on relationship, a lot of people think that, you know, you have to know somebody who knows somebody. But the reality is, if you know just one person and you're authentic in that relationship, they then respect you and then they'll tell somebody about you. And then maybe they know somebody who knows somebody. So one of the things that's really important to me is that I have to be authentic in my relationship with people. Like if I'm one way around my friends and indifferent around you, that's not authentic. The same way I am online, that's the exact same way I am in person.
And that's the biggest compliment you can get when people meet me and they say, oh my God, you're exactly like what you're like online. Like, mm-hmm. To me, I take pride in that. And, you know, you made some other good points. First of all, everybody has an audience and every audience has an audience. And then everybody influences somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, I like to say, do for others without expectation of anything directly in return. And some people have said to me, well, that's not return on relationship. And I say, but it is. It's. I'm just saying I don't necessarily expect a direct return on our relationship. I expect a return on relationships in general. And then it goes back to what I talk about reputation and brand building. I've had so many people approach me offering to do things. And when I say, you know, I don't even know you, why are you offering this? They're like, well, we see you online every day helping people. So why wouldn't we help you? You know, and it's the old concept of, you know, what goes around comes around, or pay it forward. And, you know, when you do that, it comes back to you. It just does. People respect you in a certain way. They know that you're out there. I tell people all the time, I'll do it now. My email address is tedrubin@gmail.com. My phone number is 516-270-5511. I can give it out all the time because nobody calls me, but everyone tells everybody that I gave it to them. So my reputation grows, and usually one or two people call. And, you know, another thing I'll tell people is pick up the phone every once in a while and call somebody. I like to give everybody a challenge. I say, for the next 30 days, pick up the phone once a day and call someone you haven't spoken to in a while and just say hi. And make it simple for them, because the reason most people don't pick up the phone is they're worried, what, that you're going to keep them on the phone too long and they're not going to get enough other stuff done. So just get on the phone and say, hi, you know, it's Ted. I'm just calling to see if there's anything I can do for you today. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the people will say, oh, that's so nice of you to call. I hope you had a nice weekend. Do you have anything special planned for the weekend? That's it. And you're off. Mm-hmm. And then they feel good because they know that you're there and available for them. And then they share that with other people. I mean, my ex-business partner, John Andrews, drives to work. He did in Bentonville when he was running Collective Bias. He does now in Raleigh, North Carolina, to Cary, North Carolina, when he's, you know, when he's the CMO of Ignite Social Media. And every day when he drives, that's his time to call people on the way home to and from work. And he picks up the phone and he calls people and just says hello. And it's amazing the way it helps build relationships.
Yo, this is great. This is great. You know, Ted, I thank you so much for hanging out with me today. One last thing. What are some of your favorite apps?
Okay. Well, you know, first of all, I love an app called Refresh.
Okay.
Because what Refresh does is it connects to, you have to allow it to connect to all your social networks, mm-hmm. to your contacts file, and to your calendar. And then whatever you set it for, it could be 5 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, It gives you a quick update on what's happening in that person's life. Mm-hmm. So anything that they've posted, if they're connected, first of all, they have to be connected to you in social. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not reaching things, but it'll tell you the last update they made on Facebook or on LinkedIn. It'll show you all the emails you've had with them. It'll show you whatever you have in their contacts file. So then quickly you can be aware and know things and maybe make a mention about something that's going on in their life so that, you know, you can feel connected. And then it also gives you the ability to make notes after your calls, mm-hmm. if you want to do that. So I love that. I also love a few of the apps for Instagram that are just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So let me just look at them because I, you know, of course I don't know them by name anymore because they're sitting on my phone. But one of them is called Insta Collage, which you can take where you can take photos and put it together. Another one's called Pick Stitch. I actually prefer Pick Stitch over Insta Collage. Pick Stitch is actually a little less creative, but I'm not that creative when it comes to like funky pictures and things like that. So I love that. And then I also love PS Express, which is a great app for Photoshop, mm-hmm. for your phone.
Okay.
And it's free. Awesome. So, you know, and then of course I use all the things. I use Hootsuite for Twitter, mm-hmm. you know, which I love, and I use a lot of the different, you know, social apps that just go along with the, you know, with the platforms themselves.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. And what's your favorite place to work? When you want to lock in, where do you go to work?
Oh, you know what? It's funny because I travel so much. It's hard to find a best place. But the place I get the most accomplished is when I'm home, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting in my Easy Boy chair in my living room in front of the fireplace, just pounding it out. You know, getting mm-hmm. as much stuff done. But you know, I tend to work wherever I am. I get a lot done when I'm flying. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot done on the move because I have to. You know, it's 24/7 for me.
Nice, nice. Well, Ted, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. You can visit Ted at tedrubin.com and just check a lot of things out. He's available almost everywhere. If you just Google his name, everything's going to come up. So we thank you for hanging out with us today on From Start to Finish. And I look forward to building a relationship with you in a greater way. And he does answer his email like immediately. So you don't have to worry about that if you want to reach out and touch him. Thank you, Ted.
Well, thank you, Christine. I've really enjoyed being here.
Well, I really hope that you guys enjoyed that talk with Ted Rubin. It was just an eye-opening time for me as well. Listen, he gave us the email. He gave us the phone number. Reach out and touch him. Find out how he's doing. Even find out how he can help you do what you do better. Remember, return on relationship is so important. We'll see you next time here on From Start to Finish with Christina Faith.
Son, here's what I want you to do. She'll be there waiting for you with tear-stained eyes. Now he'll be there dressed for the fight, sword out in my uncomfortable.
Do is.